Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
You don't see the Church of Satan doing a mockery of mosque worship. You don't see Satanism doing a mockery of a Buddhist meditation.
You go into the average big box evangelical church, you're going to get three or four verses from different translations ripped out of context that are strip mined in order to help make your life better.
He reigns from a font. He reigns from a pulpit. He reigns from a table. His crucified and risen presence, bodily, fleshly, continues to reign in the world.
Homeschool families love Issues Etc. We have issues.
Nowadays in the church, preaching is considered something optional. You'll see all sorts of things substituted for a pastor standing in a pulpit delivering a sermon. Sometimes there'll be a little film, sometimes there'll be a drama, sometimes there's nothing at all. Sometimes what passes for preaching in the church today is pastor showing you pictures of his grandchildren on the big screen and opining nicely about family values. Is that Christian preaching? Is it what Christ instituted when he said that his name should be preached, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all creation until he comes again? Is preaching optional? And if it isn't, then what exactly is Christian preaching? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., broadcasting live from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois, host of the second annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first hour of this live broadcast from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Dr. Ed Gremenstein joins us here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. We're going to be talking about preaching, beginning a five-part series with him on Christ's presence as preaching. A little bit later, Dr. Ben Mays will join us. We'll discuss the Holy Trinity because we are upon Trinity Sunday coming up this weekend. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, you can join us even though we're broadcasting remote. You can join us as well. Our regular phone number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. The audience here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church is welcome to use the audience mic with questions or comments. Make sure you tell us who you are and where you're from. We always like to know where everybody's from. And we're going to be giving away a copy of Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. If we're going to give away a copy to the listener with the best question or comment on this Friday afternoon. Dr. Ed Gremenstein joins us to begin a series on Christ's presence as preaching. He's Associate Executive Director of the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And Dr. Gremenstein has a doctorate in homiletics from the University of Toronto. Ed, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Preaching is often viewed today, especially in American Christianity, as kind of an option. You can do a video, you can do a chancel drama, they used to call it chancel drama. You can do all sorts of different things. The pastor can just get up and talk about something. Is preaching an option in the New Testament? Did Christ leave preaching as something we can or can't do as we choose?
I would always prefer to look at preaching more than just something that is ordered or commanded. Certainly you can make that argument that it is. Definitely he says that. But beyond that, I would encourage people to look at preaching more as pure gospel necessity. In the same way that we need air to breathe, we need preaching to believe. And it is out of that necessity that we as a church body simply cannot, should not, never abandon that pure proclamation of the gospel in the public arena or forfeit it for some other ridiculous substitute that does not do what Christ desired it to do, which is to give life.
So preaching is as necessary to the life of the church and to the individual believer as is the other means of grace, baptism, the Lord's Supper?
Exactly. And I think really in the LCMS, and I think the wider Christendom, other denominations have even a greater challenge in this respect. But I think we in the LCMS should begin to rethink preaching, not along the lines of maybe a mere Bible study, not along the lines of something where it's merely educational. It has those aspects. But I believe very strongly, and I think Luther espoused this as well, that preaching is more akin to the Lord's Supper and baptism than it is anything else, and the absolution. And I think if we as Lutherans begin to consider preaching in those terms, and I'll be happy to unpack those over our next five series, we would not so easily forfeit preaching to a chancel drama or a video or pictures of your vacation to Nevada. Mm-hmm. Because we, whether it's clergy or lay people, would demand that we be allowed to hear that pure gospel of Christ, and we would accept nothing less every Sunday morning.
You say, and I do want to unpack that, you say that it's akin to baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper, that what we usually think of as the means of grace in Lutheran terms. But from the outside looking in, preaching looks like any other form of kind of one-way discourse. It looks like a president standing up, delivering the State of the Union address. I think aliens looking down on that, not knowing what was being said, would have a difficult time saying, is he the pastor of a church? And they seem to respond to what he has to say. It looks like someone standing up in a classroom, giving a lecture, teaching, which is a good vocation. So what makes preaching different than those other forms of someone standing at a podium speaking to a group of people? What makes it different?
That's what's so wonderful about preaching, and something that I think we've lost sight of, even in the LCMS, and we never should. That is its simplicity. When we look at the Lord's Supper, from just standing outside, just with your honest eyes, what do you see? I see bread. I see wine. That's what my physical, unspiritual eyes see. That's what any alien would see looking at the Lord's Supper. But we know, we believe, we confess that that is Christ's body and blood for us. That is our understanding of the Lord's Supper. In the same way, anyone looking at preaching, just look at what's happening in preaching. Someone is standing up and someone is speaking. In the United States, it is very akin to any public speaking event. It looks the same on the outset. And this is where we've lost sight. We've lost sight that preaching is to be proclamatory, that it is to be a pure, unadulterated gospel, a gift of Christ, a freedom of Christ that happens through that word. And it is that distinctiveness in preaching that I think even in the LCMS we're losing.
The president will stand and deliver the State of the Union address, and he has a certain authority to speak, but he can say, this year, the economy will improve. He can make promises. But his word has zero power to actually make that happen. Have we forgotten that preaching actually makes something happen when something said, that thing that said actually occurs?
Yes, that's my central premise. And everything, whenever I teach preaching or whenever I'm talking about preaching, it gets back to that something happens in preaching. And not just happens, anything can happen in a spoken word, but God, Christ, is doing something in that word. And that very notion that God is doing something in the word, we could talk for months and years about what that is. And I think for people to really easily understand this is to look at the confession and absolution, in particular the absolution. And we believe in that moment that pastor who's been called by the congregation is standing in the stead of Christ, standing in the place of Christ. And notice in a true absolution, the wording, and I don't mean just a declaration of grace, which we have in some of our services. I mean the true, real absolution, where the pastor says, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And then here's the big thing. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In that moment, Christ is doing something. Not that pastor. The pastor standing in the stead of Christ. It is Christ who, as you said, Todd, through that power, that authority, that promise, is doing something. And it's that peace. If you can grab onto that peace of what happens in absolution and say and ask, what should that look like in preaching? How could that be in preaching? I think we in the LCMS would be on a great, great path.
With only about a minute here before we take our first break with you, from a preacher, from that side of the pulpit, the preacher's side of the pulpit, does that change the way you go about what you're doing when you step into that pulpit to know that you are actually handling the very living, active word of God? Does that change something?
It better.
What's the biggest difference between that and standing up in the classroom?
That's wonderful, because preaching should not be like a Bible study. They are different. In the same way that having a potluck after church is different than having the Lord's Supper, the preacher, if they understand truly what they are handling, the gifts that they are speaking in that pulpit, they would treat how they preach and what they preach very differently. Hopefully we would not have a lot of pictures of someone's vacation in Nevada.
Yeah. I got enough pictures of my own. Dr. Ed Grimmenstein is our guest. We're beginning a 5-part series on Christ's presence in preaching. We're going to talk about that presence of Christ when we come back. We're broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference right here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. A call-in number 1-877-623-6943. What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God himself. The knowledge of his perfected humanity. The knowledge of the measure of his total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and Sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christ's presence in preaching, beginning a five-part series with Dr. Ed Gremenstein. We're also broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here in Collinsville, Illinois at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. If you are listening and you want to come and stop by, you can still come by and attend the conference. We're at 1300 Beltline Road in Collinsville, Illinois. You can hardly miss it. We'll be happy to have you a little bit later after the program. Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting is going to be holding forth as our first speaker. We'll have a short service of Compline. And then hopefully, if all is made ready, we will plan to feed everybody. Not in that order. I think we're going to have Compline after we eat. But and then tomorrow we're going to have a great raft of guests and speakers for the conference, and an opportunity to hear Pastor Matt Harrison, Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, Pastor Will Whedon, and among others, Craig Parton, who will be our keynote speaker tomorrow. That's Saturday the 13th here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Ed, let's talk about the presence of Christ as preaching. I think what happens a lot is preachers get into the habit of talking about Jesus as though he weren't there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you might as well just kill God when you do that. It is probably the greatest sin, if you will, for a preacher. You know, think about this. And you use the word about.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose. You hit it. I don't know, have you heard me mention this before? It's like one of my pet peeve words.
No.
Oh,
no.
Good for you. Think about this. If we say we're going to talk about Jesus, Jesus then remains this thing. He might as well be sitting up on a shelf, like good old first century idols, literally idolatry. It was a little statuette of your God you'd stick on a shelf. And when it was convenient for you, you'd pull your little God off your shelf and do what you needed to do with your little God. There is a tendency, and it's just part of our sinful flesh, and for preachers as well, to treat Jesus as something that can be controlled. Someone, I should say, my apologies, someone who can be controlled, someone who can be spoken of in the past tense. Someone who can be spoken of as if he's over there but not here. I don't think Jesus wants that in any way, shape, or form.
So what's the difference here? Because there are two elements. One is the presence of Jesus, because you could still talk about Jesus as though he's here. But it sounds like you're saying the preaching is not talking about Jesus at all. How do we sort that out?
Again, I would have people think about the supper. That's one of the easiest ways for us to consider it. Think about the absolution. What is happening? Jesus is speaking. Jesus is doing. Jesus is promising you you're forgiven. He's promising you you're clean. He's promising you you're alive, even though you'll die. It's Jesus doing those things. So there's a couple different aspects. We could talk of Jesus doing that speaking. And Luther had some interesting ways to actually capture that. But we could also speak of it in terms of physicality, of Christ himself being the one doing that speaking. And it could sound a bit schizophrenic or literally separated because you could say, whoa, the preacher's speaking. Isn't it the preacher? Well, of course it's the preacher. But what is the preacher preaching, hopefully? I hope it's the gospel. I hope it's a free proclamation. And in and of itself, right there, that is Christ. Because that is not part of any human being in this world. That is not part of our sinful flesh. The pure gospel is nothing other than Jesus himself doing what Jesus does. And that's forgive and give life and give us freedom. That's part of the difference.
So that would preclude that radical way of properly understanding the task of preaching would preclude me getting up there and stating opinions or some bright idea I came up with lately.
No offense, but I don't care about your bright ideas, Todd.
Good.
Or opinions. And think there is quite a difference, isn't it? It doesn't matter how bright someone's opinion is or how bright their idea is or how fascinating or interesting it might be. Unless it is the gospel, unless it is what Christ has done and is doing and will continue to do for us, it's not gospel. There's a big difference. So it is the difference between something that might be fascinating and interesting versus something that is gospel. And that's where we in the LCMS should always stay. What is gospel? What is that? What's it look like? What's it smell like? So that we don't forfeit it for something that sounds interesting or something that is flashy or for pictures of a vacation or nice little stories. We should never forfeit it. We should hold on to it, cherish it, love it, proclaim it. That's the big difference.
What is the role of, and this is kind of preacher speak, but I think it's not difficult. What's the role of the text? And I'm not talking about the text of the sermon, which would be maybe your manuscript. What's the role of the biblical text in Christian preaching?
The text is Christ speaking. It is the word. And the whole area of textual criticism and that movement, that's a whole other aspect to it. What I would encourage people, whether it's preachers or lay people, to consider is that the text should never be seen as simply a mere springboard, a launching board for whatever that preacher wants to do. That text is the gospel. There's gospel there. That's Christ speaking. That is outside of us. And it's from that text then, hopefully, that preacher is preaching, not necessarily even upon, I don't like even using those words, but preaching that text.
So what's the difference there? I'm going to base my meditation for this morning upon the following text, and I'm going to preach this text. What's the difference there?
Yeah, hopefully it's upon the text. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But the question always comes down to the gospel. Is the gospel going to be proclaimed? Because you may very well have a meditation on a text, but it could be simply something you're talking about or some point you want to elucidate or expand upon. I don't really care about that. In the preaching, there better be some Jesus giving us release and freedom there. And I mean, I could preach some wonderfully long sermons or speeches, whatever you want to call them, that are based upon a text. But I could do it from a historical, critical standpoint. I could talk about the literary aspects of the text itself. I could tell you about the width of a road in Palestine in the days of Jesus, and isn't that interesting? But that's not gospel. And that is where I think Lutherans especially, we've come to think of a more Bible study format. That's how I think of those things. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with learning about the history of Jesus' days, the culture. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is not gospel. That's interesting. It could be of service to the proclamation of the gospel. But in and of itself, that's not gospel. That is historical criticism. And that is something that also could be talked about a great deal.
We use this term law and gospel. It's become kind of a shibboleth. I think perhaps not as well understood as it could be. But explain to us how fundamental this is to the preacher's task in approaching that text and in preaching that text, that he realize, I'm going to find in this text and deliver both law and gospel. Talk about that if you would, Ed.
Law and gospel is something, in my opinion, that should never be abandoned for any other kind of trick or any other kind of fanciful wish of a preacher. Over the years, I've seen many, many people, even in the LCMS, many, many people, think that, you know, we've gotten past law and gospel. We've grown into something else now. There's something new. There's something different or a different approach. When we think of preaching, when we think of what happens in that, where we are dead and come back to life in Christ, that is law and gospel in a nutshell. If the sermon does not capture that, if it doesn't do it, that's the difference. If it doesn't do that, and there are many different ways that can be happen very well, many different genres and ways, it's not preaching. And I will go that far. I'll probably be crucified.
Well, if what you're saying is true, than what passes for preaching in many churches, ours, theirs, whatever it may be, in American Christianity today, isn't actually preaching. A lot of time is being wasted on Sunday morning, if what you're saying is true.
Oh, yes. And unfortunately, a lot of time is being wasted in LCMS churches because I think we have lost sight of this in teaching preachers how to preach, what the theology of preaching is. We're not having those discussions in the LCMS. And I do fear that we might lose more than what we already have forfeited. Other denominations are almost entirely lost when it comes to preaching. We in the LCMS have been able to keep a piece of it for the simple fact of the liturgy, simple fact of our strong, still strong understanding of the Lord's Supper, the presence of Christ, closed communion. Those aspects have kept us in line in a good way, meaning faithful. Christ has kept us in the faith through those means. And that's retained some elements in our preaching. But as far as isolating the preaching practice itself and talking of these things and what preaching could be, unfortunately, that's not occurring.
When we come back, I remember this was now 25 years ago when I was being taught to preach. I wasn't really being taught to preach. I was being taught to write a sermon. And I have learned over the last 25 years that there's a huge difference between those two things. We'll talk about that as we continue our series on Christ's presence as preaching, live from the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference here in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zultz, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Carpet, hardwood, tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Thank you. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about preaching. Dr. Ed Gremenstein is our guest. He's Associate Executive Director of the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He has a Ph.D., a doctorate in homiletics, that's a fancy word for preaching, from the University of Toronto. And we're beginning this five-part series with him. It'll extend into the weeks to come here on Issues, Etc. We are broadcasting live from the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our email, we can still get those right here in the studio, even though it's a remote studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. I forgot to mention that you can leave a question or a comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, for Pastor Gremenstein. And we are giving away one copy of the selected sermons of Norman Nagel to the listener with the best question or comment. We've got an audience question here. Who are you? Where are you from? What's your question?
My name is Marie Furderer. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I have a question regarding what you said about moving beyond law and gospel, this trend that a lot of people have fallen into. And I have actually heard people in Lutheran circles make that argument that, you know, we've got to get past this whole law and gospel paradigm. And they say the reason for that is that, you know, there are too many law gospel sermons where you could, you know, set your watch to it, where, you know, the first 6 minutes are law and the second 6 minutes are gospel, and nobody's paying attention anyway because the pastor isn't applying it to people, and he has to, you know, we have to get into something where we're applying sermons to people. And I was just wondering about your thoughts on that.
Great question. Thank you very much.
That's very good. Very often, What you had mentioned about there's two components, with some saying we need to move beyond law and gospel. I think there actually is, and I'm certain of this, there is a mindset within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that indeed should happen. I can't even disagree with that enough. However, I'd like to piggyback off of the second portion of your sentiment where people will say you can wind your watch and, you know, 6 minutes, you know, it's coming, right? That is an issue of form when it comes to preaching. There's certainly different ways to preach. I could preach an entire sermon that is a story. I could preach an entire sermon that is first person Jesus speaking to you. I could preach an entire sermon that's made of question and answer. So there's many different forms. What I see very often in congregation members and pastors, even when they'll speak about abandoning law gospel, more often than not, the challenge is not necessarily law gospel itself or their despising of it, but their frustration because they don't know how to speak law gospel in varying formats. So that preacher is frustrated and the congregational members are frustrated. So that is whereas we as a church body should be able to teach pastors how to faithfully proclaim that in different ways.
I do want to ask you about this because Marie mentioned the term paradigm. You know, it's a model, so to speak. And the best insight I ever heard on this recently came from a regular guest of the program, Pastor Bill Swirla, who said, look, law and gospel isn't a paradigm. Law and gospel is the word that God speaks. It's not something we impose upon the scriptures. It's how God talks to us. He always talks in law and gospel. What are your thoughts?
Yes. I don't know how I could do anything else. If we say he does anything else, we are denying the fallen creation. And we are denying our God who loves that fallen creation so much that he's willing to die and give us a new life. I mean, don't forget who we are. Don't forget what this world is, and don't forget how much our God loves us in Christ. And we should never forfeit that. I think he is entirely right.
Another audience question here. Who are you? Where are you from? What's your question?
Yes, Paul from Milwaukee. My question is, if preaching is declining in the LCMS, are the seminaries sufficiently inoculating students, if you will, against attractive worldly models, outside consultants, ignorant, meddlesome laymen, and the students' own sinful ambition and personal deficiencies?
Paul, thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Ed had mentioned before we came on the air that he might not be working for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod after this, but take a swing.
Heard that.
Yeah. Do you think our seminaries are doing a sufficient job of teaching preachers to preach, not just to write sermons? And with all those other influences that are horning into the pulpit every Sunday morning?
I think our seminaries are doing an excellent job in teaching our preachers what gospel is and law, some better than others. I'll be quite honest. I won't be teaching at the seminaries anymore, probably. But no, I think they could be doing a better job. But I don't necessarily blame either of the seminaries' faculties for this. The simple fact is that denominations in the United States do not lift up homiletics as a discipline that should be taught, to be quite honest. And simply look how homiletics courses are handled at our seminaries, whether that's St. Louis or Fort Wayne. Very often that task is entrusted to anyone that has that hour open and is able to fill the preaching course. That's just a fact. And I think it's often because over the decades, preaching has been seen merely as just a pastoral act. It's a pastoral theology. Should shove it in that practical department and let any pastor have at it. And the seminaries have then lifted up other disciplines of systematics, history, exegesis, and the pastoral. But good gracious. The very essence of who we are as Christians is to live upon the proclamation of the gospel, reception of what God has done for us, and that comes through the word. So I would like to ask this, where are we as a church body when we take God's proclamation, which brings life and salvation and faith, and put it down here, and don't encourage the discipline of homiletics to have its free reign, its free course, its significance? I think it's an incredible deficiency when we ask pastors to do this thing once a week for, I say 10 to 12 minutes, but most pastors preach 20 to 22, which I think is far too long. But we ask them to do this every week, which is very challenging. And I believe we as a church body could encourage that task, that better, and do it better, along with things like catechesis, teaching the catechism, shut-in visits. If you look at what a pastor should be doing every week, I think we might be able to improve on those tasks a bit.
All right. That was...
Was that diplomatic enough?
Yeah, I think it was.
Good.
Maybe you can look forward to another paycheck. It's not my decision, but I'll ask Harrison when he comes in tomorrow. We'll see what he thinks about it. Who are you? What's your question? Where are you from?
I'm Scott, and I'm from Central Illinois. We just celebrated the Feast of Pentecost this past Sunday, and we say it's the birthday of the church, but it is and it isn't, because even the writers of the Hebrews lists a long list of Old Testament saints who look forward to the coming Christ. So what would law and gospel preaching look like in the time before Christ? And we have sermon texts per se from synagogues and from the temple from before Jesus' ministry.
That's a good question. Thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah. I wish I could give you more specifics, and we certainly can. Yes, there are texts. And to go back to the beginning portion of your question, I think that's wonderful. I personally do not see any difference between the law and gospel proclaimed, say, in the Old Testament versus New Testament. How it is proclaimed is certainly different. Old Testament, of course, was looking forward to that coming Christ. And we have those gorgeous proclamations throughout the Old Testament, don't we? Look at the Psalms. Look at Genesis. The first couple chapters where God makes that wonderful promise that out of the woman's seed, we will have salvation. Those are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful salvific texts for us. So yes, we can see that. And I would say this, many people will say, and this is very simplistic, well, the Old Testament, they look
to the Christ who was coming. And the New Testament, now we look back to the Christ who had come. Sure, yeah, that's fine. But salvation is here. Salvation is now. Salvation is no different right now in this moment in time than it was when that first promise was made to Adam and Eve in the garden. That is law. That is gospel. And that is unchanging because the one who proclaims is unchanging.
Dr. Ed Gremenstein is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him on this Friday afternoon, June the 13th, broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. We still have time for your questions and your comments. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email. We'll get to some email when we come back. TalkBackAtIssuesETC.org. TalkBackAtIssuesETC.org. You leave a question or a comment at our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. We are giving away one copy of the selected sermons of Norman Nagel to the listener with the best question or comment. 1-877-623-6943. TalkBackAtIssuesETC.org or Facebook.com/IssuesETC. In hour two, we'll talk about the Holy Trinity. Dr. Ben Mays will be our guest. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
That first presentation will be on how lawyers look at making the case for the reliability of the New Testament.
Craig Parton talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The information we have about Jesus, primarily about his life and death and resurrection, primarily comes from the four Gospels, certainly from the rest of the New Testament. But if the record we have of Jesus Christ can't be relied on, we're doomed.
You can meet and hear Craig Parton making the case for the historical Jesus June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for June is called Hello, My Name is Single. The author, Adrienne Dorr Hines, wrote this book while she was single. And then in the twist of irony that only God can pull off, by the time she had finished the book and sent it off to the publisher, she was happily married and disqualified to speak on the matter at all. Although we did recently interview her on this. It's a great book. I have endorsed it, and it's a fantastic book. It's a realistic picture of singleness as a vocation that sometimes lasts for life and sometimes doesn't. It's called Hello, My Name is Single. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Hello, My Name is Single. We're beginning a series, a five-part series on Christ's presence as preaching with Dr. Ed Gremenstein. He's Associate Executive Director of the Office for International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They really like long titles. over there. Benny has a doctorate in homiletics, that is preaching, from the University of Toronto, which is what actually qualifies him to come and speak here on Issues, etc. A question from Haley in Paris, Texas, where she's listening. Haley says, how would you discuss the difference between proclaiming or preaching Christ and preaching about Christ? Why is this distinction important for the hearers?
I don't think she could have worded that question any better. That's perfect. Think about this. People like puppies, right? We like puppies in America. Little puppies, fluffy, furry puppies with four legs. If I were to say, hey, I want to learn about a puppy, I could kill that puppy, but I bet you didn't think we'd ever go here on Issues, huh? I could kill that puppy on a dissection table. I'm sorry. Open the puppy and look at the puppy inside and say, oh, look, I'm learning about the puppy.
And you would be to an extent, yeah.
The puppy has two lungs and heart, and here's the puppy's parts. And I could measure the puppy and look at puppy, but I got a dead puppy, right?
Yeah.
Or that would be learning about a puppy. Or you could take that living puppy and toss that puppy a ball and watch that puppy run around and watch that puppy eat its food and watch that puppy lick your face and watch that puppy bark at you and watch that puppy jump up and down. That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut them apart and use them however you see fit, versus preaching Christ and allowing a living Christ to do what that living Christ wants to do for us, which is give us life, be with us, forgive us, renew us, give us promise of hope of resurrection. That's the difference. The difference is a dead Jesus or a living Jesus and how you regard Jesus. He's alive regardless of how people want to think about him, but it's how we're thinking about him.
Pete has this question. What are the best arguments for preaching Christ versus preaching the Christian?
Meaning morality, shaping of Christian.
It's you know, living Christ versus Christ Christian life.
Luther, I was just looking over this. You know, the devil doesn't run around with horns and a pitchfork, and the devil's works and actions are truly, his true works and actions, in my opinion, are not that noticeable. He's sneaky. He's good at what he does. And he makes law not look like law. He makes death not look like death. He makes it look clean and good and right. And if I'm reading this correctly, I think the devil's greatest trick is to have a Christian be so enamored with themselves and their Christian lifestyle or their morality or their personal actions, how well they are in their I'm a dad, which those are things that are not necessarily bad in and of themselves, but it's when the faith comes in those things for assurance of eternal life, of hope, of salvation.
And it always does, doesn't it?
There's no way around it. Versus the person of Jesus himself, who Jesus himself is the one who I find my cleanliness in, who I find my hope in, who I find my resurrection in. You'll notice that in the scriptures, especially Romans, Galatians, we are in Christ, right? We find ourselves in him. You are a new creation in Christ, the person of Christ. It's not like Christ just dissolves and I suck him into me and, oh, look at me now. No. I'm in Christ. And it's only in Christ, in that person of Christ, that I have any hope, that I am clean, only because of him.
This is from Kurt. He tweets, what is your favorite way to begin or end your sermon?
It's very easy to get into homiletical form, and that's where you run into the terrible trap of the misuse of narration in homiletics, which is probably the biggest snafu over the past 30 years across across the board. Many people feel like they need to begin a sermon with a joke or humorous anecdote. Those are tracks. Those are 2,000-year-old methods to try and have an audience favorably disposed toward a public speaker. These have roots that most preachers don't even realize, and it's unfortunate. I think we could talk about form a great deal. Personally, myself, as I begin a sermon, it is within the momentum of law to gospel. There should be that movement in the sermon always, law to gospel, that movement. How that happens in an introduction, I think, can vary based upon the text, the church year, the circumstance, if it's a wedding or a funeral. All of those dictate it. Ending a sermon, I think, oh, sweet mercy, I wish some pastors would just wrap it up sometimes because they go on and on and on.
He sits in the front row.
I do sit in the front row. You know, what's interesting about Luther, when he ended a sermon, he often would just end. He'd literally say, that's all I have to say at this point. Amen.
More next time.
He'd just end it. Yeah. He'd just end it. Yeah, I think short and sweet. That's my motto.
What do you think about this? Because there are formulaic ways to end, and I've discovered that when they're used, often it's a signal. Time to get out your bulletins, to rifle through your purse for a piece of gum, whatever you're going to do. And they're beautiful words. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. They're beautiful scriptural words. But everybody knows, oh, it's over with. This is the commercial break, so to speak.
Yeah.
Is a preacher smart if he says, look, I know what that signals to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to do that, as good as those words are. What are your thoughts?
Yes. And I love it. The young woman who brought this up before, she was talking about basically diversification of the preaching form in law and gospel. I encourage that. I also encourage pastors to have humility. So I remember 15 years ago, one of my catechumens said to me, well, Pastor, we always know when your sermon's ending because you speak about the resurrection. And it's so sweet, so true, so true. I encourage pastors to be humble. Take those things to thought. And there's nothing wrong with doing good things in different ways. I also personally, in my own personal practice of preaching now, pretty much just end it. In there's right ways within two sentences, three sentences, just boom.
Yeah, turn
done.
It off.
Yes.
A question from our audience. Who are you? What's your question? Where are you from?
Marla from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. My question, well, first a comment. It seems to me that a lot of the evangelical church movement out there, they do preach some kind of thing that is not law and gospel combined. And when you say that our Missouri Synod seminaries aren't teaching it as well as they could, it pains me to think that something that the Missouri Synod had and has, because we have such good things for the Christian, for our people. I don't want to see us go the way of the evangelical churches. What could the seminaries do to bring back that really good, solid preaching to our men?
Thanks for the question, Ed. I'm giving you 30 seconds.
You got it. I was thinking of this on my way here. I think of this stuff all the time. I would encourage our seminaries to get back to a theological understanding of what preaching is, rather than the simple execution of writing a sermon. Not that I'm saying that that's happening all the time, but I will say, and I do believe in the LCMS, we do not currently have a very strong, firm, theological understanding of preaching and what that all entails. That would be my recommendation.
With only 30 seconds, you said gospel necessity at the beginning, that we need the gospel. Wrap this up, if you would. Your final thoughts on preaching as a gospel necessity with 30 seconds.
That's how people believe. We believe when we're baptized. We believe in what's proclaimed in the Lord's Supper. We have opportunities every Sunday to ensure that we are hearing the gospel. And whether we are pastors or laypersons, we should demand it. We're not asking too much to demand it. That is how the church should be. And if it is not that way, it is incumbent upon us to demand that we be given Christ.
Marie, congratulations. You get the book that we're giving away during this hour, The Selected Sermons of Norman Nagel. She's out here someplace. Find Jeff, and you'll get your mailing address. Dr. Ed Bremenstein is Associate Executive Director of the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He has a doctorate in preaching from the University of Toronto. Ed, thank you very, very much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Holy Trinity. Dr. Ben Mays, editor of publishing and academic books for Concordia Publishing House, will be our guest in advance of the celebration of Trinity Sunday by many of our churches on this Friday afternoon, June the 13th, live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here in Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. We will talk about the Holy Trinity. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. When we come back, we'll talk about the Trinity, and then we're going to continue the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here in Collinsville, Illinois. A little bit later tonight, Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting. I saw him sitting in the back row. We'll be presenting on being both spiritual and religious. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.